Greenhorns Radio, this is Severin. Welcome. Today is Thursday, the 19th of September, and we are joined on the telephone today for our show with Eric Hoffman from Missouri. This is, as you know, Greenhorns Radio by Young Farmers for Young Farmers. We are proudly sponsored by Hearst Family Ranch in California, and we are coming to you live from the Hudson Valley. Eric, are you there?
I am.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on today.
I'm so pleased that you joined us. Eric, would you mind introducing yourself, where you are in the world, and what you do every day?
Okay, as Severin said, my name is Eric Hoffman, and I'm in the north-central part of Missouri near a town called Trenton. And I'm a 24-year-old dairy farmer who has just started out and is 2 years into this little adventure I'm doing. So, yeah, we're milking cows, and we're running them out on pasture and just having a good time.
Now, if you wouldn't mind, tell us how you came to have access to that nice land and what was going on before you started your grass-based dairy.
Okay. Well, this all kind of started with an idea I had while I was in college. And I began pursuing and looking for a place to actually develop and put a dairy barn up. So I found a piece of ground. I actually leased the property, and it was in the Conservation Reserve Program, and its term was up, and there needed to be something done with the property. So we went through and added forages and grasses and tried to develop a feed source that was suitable for making milk. And that's kind of the first step in the process, but that's just a little bit of what you have to do. You have to go a little further and divide the farm up so it can be managed to keep the quality as high as possible so you can yield the milk that you desire.
So where were you getting your training, and what resources were you tapping into when you were doing that farm planning and learning about pasture and range management?
Well, I actually grew up, my father's an agronomist, so I had a lot of knowledge coming up as a young child. But on top of that, while in college, I did an internship on a pasture-based dairy in southwest Missouri that is actually owned by some New Zealand folks who came into our state and have put up several farms. And that's kind of where I extended my knowledge a little bit and looked at some different management systems and kind of got a better handle for what I really wanted to do with my with this farm.
And when you went to look for your cattle, what were you for your dairy cows? What were you looking for in the breed, and what did you end up deciding on?
Okay, well, what I went with was a crossbred animal. I was looking for something I could get in cheap, but still have an animal that would produce milk on pasture and would rebreed and would be a sturdy, durable animal because of the walks that are required moving around the farm. So most of my cows are about 1,000 pounds, which is a little smaller than average, and they're mostly dark-colored animals, but they would be a cross between a Holstein and a Jersey. So that's kind of the route I've gone so far.
And so you're yielding, you're getting the best of a Jersey maybe and the best of the Holstein, so you get a higher value, bigger animal, but then more cream? Is that kind of how it shakes out?
Yeah, that's kind of how it comes out. In my part of the country, we're paid on butterfat content and protein content, as well as fluid milk. So it kind of pays off to have some Jersey influence in your animals, and that was a big part of why I chose the Jersey, but also their durability is they're noted for that, I guess you could say. So that's a definite advantage, but then you got to have something else in there to increase the volume of milk produced, and that's where the Holstein comes in nicely.
So So now you're producing milk on quite a large scale, to the point where you must be partnering with a distribution company or a milk co-op.
Right.
What's your fluid milk distribution model?
My co-op is Dairy Farmers of America, and they service all the farms, all the dairies in my area, which are very few anymore. But that's our choice up here, is to go with them, and they've been doing a pretty good job for me.
And the other farms in your area, are they also doing grass-based dairy, or what's their practices like?
There are several that are of the grass-based nature. When we speak about grass-based dairies, you have to understand there's a hybrid model and several hybrids of the pasture system. Depending on how much forage you can grow in your growing season all across the Midwest, that would vary quite a bit. So around me, most everybody uses pasture. To what extent, that's kind of the question. For myself, I try to use upwards of 65 or 70% of the animal's actual dry matter intake, or their diet requirements, in other words, it comes from the pasture.
And that's higher than normal?
Oh, yeah, that'd be higher than normal. There would be some folks around the country doing better than that, but as your cows age and you get your genetics right and you get your pasture right, that percentage could increase without a doubt, yeah.
So this is very exciting, and you've been going on this now. You come back to the farm, is it 4 years now?
No, this is my second year, yeah.
This is your second?
Yeah, so this is my third year out of college, but we took a year to get everything ready, and this is the second year milking, actually.
So how are things progressing in your 5-year plan, and have you kind of shifted your priorities or your focus?
Well, you know, I've been satisfied with some of the goals I've met, and some other ones maybe not so. The milk price has kind of held down some of my plans, and a couple years of absolutely wet weather in our part of the state has kind of slowed the development of my pastures and things of that nature. But all in all, I'm kind of getting closer to where I need to be in terms of having an efficient model. And at the end of the day, you know, I don't care. I just assume milk less cows. But if it takes more cows to utilize everything we have and everything the land's given us, that's what we're going to do. So
let's talk some numbers. You are running how many acres and how many heads?
I'm running 160 milking cows, and I've got 60 replacements that are bred and will be coming online in the spring. Then I also have 80 new crop heifer calves, which I retained, and they're all different paddocks around the farm, but we've got 348 grazable acres here to use. So I really think when we're all kind of where we need to be, we'll probably be close to 300 cows milking, and then the replacements and the new crop calves, you know, will kind of fall in as they come along.
So you're not buying in anymore. You're doing closed herd, and you're just bringing in AI and working up your herd from your own stock.
That's the plan right now, yep.
And what's the rationale behind that, just for our listeners who may not be necessarily totally literate in what a heifer is and all that kind of thing?
Okay, let's
explain how does it happen that you get you build your dairy herd.
Okay, well, I think it all starts with the fact that in order to get milk from a cow, you've got to get a pregnancy going there. So just like humans, to get that flow of milk started in a lactation, we got to have a calf. So when you have a herd of dairy cows, you're going to have half bull calves or male calves, and you're going to have half female calves or heifers. And from that point, if you're wanting to build your herd, you're going to need to retain your heifers. And generally, that's what is done most of the time around here. guys retain their heifers, and then it'll be 2 years before that cow will actually be producing milk. So in that 2 years' time, we've got to grow that animal up to a breeding age and breeding weight, which is going to be about 60 to 70% of their mature weight. So for my cows, you know, that's 650, 700 pounds at breeding age, which would be at 1 year. So we do that, and we get a lot invested in these young animals, but that gives us something to replace our older animals or less desirable animals when the time comes. So when you start out, it's a little difficult because you don't have that year of replacements on hand as you would going into your third lactation. So now I've got my homegrown replacements ready to come in next spring, so we're setting in good shape there.
Wow. And let's also talk about where the economics factor in, because when you started out, you brought on a new herd, is that right? And how much were you paying per animal?
Right, I started out with heifers. And the reason I did that, well, there's a couple reasons. In 2007, we were getting ready to have a peak milk price, okay? So animals were on the climb. The price of live animals were going up right with the price of milk. So I started out with heifers, which is, you know, like I said before, that is an animal that is going to have its first calf or first offspring. So that's kind of what we started at. Now, those critters can vary in price quite a bit, but right now the market's going anywhere from $850 a head to $1,000 a head for my type of heifer. Does that kind of explain?
So you kind of bought high, and now you're having to sell your milk low, which is an unfortunate situation.
Yeah,
you have a volatile milk market.
Right, that's not how you're supposed to run a business.
Well, it seems like the dairy business is a pretty tough one.
It is right now. It can be good, but it's a little iffy right now, for sure.
So if you were going to counsel somebody else who was starting a grass-based dairy, say, mm-hmm. would you counsel them also to start with heifers, or what would you say?
You know, it would depend on the price. What I like about the heifer is she's got a lot of life left in her. The problem is the first lactation is most likely not going to produce as much milk as the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and so on. So you got to keep that in mind. If you've got a goal of how many pounds of milk you think you need to produce in a year to make payments, to get started, etc., you might actually want to end up starting with more heifer animals. Now, one thing you also have to realize is heifers may be the only thing readily available. Generally, people don't sell older cows unless, A, milk price is bad or the cow's not too good. So I think by buying heifers, you're gonna buy a group of animals that has some time left in them, you know, 5, 6, maybe 10 years of life, and you also have something that's available for you that way, and they're easily found.
Mm-hmm. And then the kind of exception case would be if somebody's going out of business nearby.
Sure.
And they're liquidating their herd or.
Sure. Right. And at the time when I purchased animals, nobody was even thinking about going out of business because they were getting the best price they'd had in several years.
So things are changing now. Now is probably a great time to get cheap cows.
Sure. Yep. This is an excellent time to get in the dairy business, especially if you're a young person, and you can really get a good interest rate on some animals and a farm even. So, yep, this is a good time to get going.
I'm actually looking. I'm going to be buying two cows with calves
mm-hmm.
At the beginning of October, and just from a nearby farm who wanted size down their herd slightly.
Sure.
And you know, that's just for like just for family size, just for us, for in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And to do a little bit of, you know, a little bit here and there, but it's great, you know, to have to be able to keep the babies too, and then raise them because they're a good meat breed as well.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. That's that's what's great about a milk cow, especially one if you have one or two at home. You know, they're going to make enough milk where you can let them raise the calf, and you can still get share of milk for yourself and the family, and it all just work out pretty good.
Let's talk a little bit about interest rates and about how young and beginning farmers can benefit from the low interest loans that Uncle Sam has been putting out. Have you been tapped into the Farm Start program?
Not exactly, but I am familiar with some of the local programs we have in the state of Missouri, and I think most of them are federally funded.
And, what did you make use of when you first took out your loan to get your herd started and get your operation up and running? What was your you came out of right out of college, so you probably didn't have a very good credit rating.
No, well, I had a good credit rating, but I didn't have too many assets, and without assets to borrow against, you're kind of out of luck. But just kind of a broad spectrum of what programs are out there. There are several programs where if you're young enough, if you qualify, if you meet some guidelines, if you have a good business plan and an education that kind of backs that up or equivalent experience, Uncle Sam will back you and basically make it so you can borrow money to get started. Most of the time, they like to loan money on land because that's a very firm asset. But then they'll also go on cattle and facilities of different types and sizes. But there's also a guarantee program through the Farm Service Agency. And that is a program I took advantage of. They basically put reassurance to my lender that you know, this is a solid plan, it should work, and they kind of have stress variables that they throw into your cash flow and kind of test everything. Now, the one they threw in my cash flow was $15.75 for milk, and yesterday I got $11.90. So no matter who stress tested their business plan last year, I don't think they saw this coming, but...
That's a really sad thing to hear.
Well, yeah, it is sad. Luckily, it's good and bad. There will be some producers who won't make it through, and that's bad to hear because a lot of families will be torn from the farm, and we will see the farm size increase once again. And I don't think that's truly healthy for American agriculture, but. On the other hand, we're opening up new opportunity for folks, and I really hope young people will get out and consider farming. You don't have to be from a farm to get involved in agriculture by any means. There are programs out there for everyone. So, yep.
Yeah, well, it seems to be that's the trend that I'm seeing as well. There's farm kids growing up on farms who are coming back home and figuring out how they can plug in and either, you know, refine what their parents have been doing and reshape or resize parts of the operation to suit kind of a more contemporary market scene, or change the direction of the farm, or, you know, just figure out how to make it work as it has been. And then all sorts of interesting and dynamic partnerships between landowners and land leasers, incubator farms, apprenticeships all over the country that then just spawn new farms. The amount of different ways that people are figuring out how to farm in America is truly astounding. So tell me what's going on or what's going on around you that's exciting.
Well, let's see. That's kind of a big question, but right here we're kind of, to tell you a little bit about the area I'm in, we're in a rolling hills area that has an abundance of pasture, but also a balance of crop ground, and we're located kind of in between all the ethanol plants, which was, you know, that was kind of the last 2 years big news around these parts, was all the ethanol boom and the soy diesel plants and everything. But that's kind of starting to wear off a little bit because the returns in those businesses are likewise not very good. But just next door, actually, we had a guy go in with a pasture poultry farm, and they're making lots of eggs over there right now, and that's kind of been our big deal in the area.
We're looking at our business plan right now to plan for pasture poultry next year, and it's shaking out like if you get to 400, that's like the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
To make it really work. What kind of numbers does he have?
He's pushing upwards of 15,000 birds. Yeah,
it's a different scale over there.
It's kind of interesting. Well, yeah, and I think part of the scale deal goes along with our farm sizes are growing. The tracts of land in our area, you know, people put tracts together, and then as they age, they sell them. And when you buy land, you pretty much need to use it all to make it work out. So I think that's why we tend to have larger operations.
Do you think it would be possible to have that size come down? I mean, around here, we see a lot of dairy farms go out of business. The barns kind of fall apart and the fences fall down. It just turns into corn and soybeans, and then it seems difficult to move from the corn and soybeans back into dairy just because the fences are all falling down and the barns are falling down.
Sure.
I mean, it seems hard to imagine things sizing down, but can you imagine it?
Well, it's most likely not going to happen without some sort of farm crisis, probably, because it is a little more simple to plant an entire property as opposed to build fences and buildings and maintenance those and take care of animals. So, as you know, as the number of farmers in the United States decreases, basically one guy has to do more work, and you know, that usually involves planting a crop.
Well, it sounds like we have some work to do.
Indeed.
A lot of fences to build, a lot of barns to maintenance.
Yep.
But I'm really thrilled to have you on the radio today with us, and I wanted to just give you a chance to call out your website and any local institutions that are near you that you might want to have folks tap into.
Okay. Well, my website is just hoffmanfarms.com, and you're welcome to go there. Actually, might be down today. I'm not sure. But if you're interested in pasture dairy or dairy at all, you need to check out the University of Missouri Extension website. That's muextension.com. And there's been a lot of good work by those folks down there who've helped me out tremendously. And they can get you on the right track with some ideas and can put you through to other folks that have some experience in this field.
Well, like, look forward so much to seeing you out at Farm Aid. We're going to be doing, Greenhorns is going to be doing a rural bicycle ride in La Plata, Missouri, on the 2nd of October.
Okay.
And then we'll be at the Homegrown Urban Country Fair, which is at the Tower Grove Farmers Market on October 2nd in the morning, and then in the afternoon we'll be doing a urban bike farm tour in St. Louis proper. And then on Sunday it's Farm Aid, which is big Willie Nelson concert with Neil Young and Dave Matthews and John Mellencamp and Phosphorescence and Wilco and a whole bunch of other bands, which is every year pretty amazing show. So I hope that you'll be there. And if you're interested to come and be part of the Greenhorns booth, we have one extra ticket if you wanted to come.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I think I could do that.
Cool beans. Well, I'll be in touch on email, and I thank you all so much for joining us again on Greenhorns Radio. We are, as you know, sponsored by Hearst Ranch. Delighted to be up in the Hudson Valley, farming Smithereen Farm. Thank you kindly. Bye-bye.